With today's Jaldi 5, here are your hosts, Jaggu and Tarana.
Welcome back to Jaldi 5, where we curate 5 stories for you that aren't the headlines, but we hope will enlighten and entertain you nevertheless. We get them from all over the world for your listening pleasure. I'm Tarana.
I'm Jaggu. And once you've had a listen, we encourage you to keep them in mind for the next time you're chatting with friends or colleagues, where you can throw in these funky conversation starters. Let's get you started with your 5 for today.
Number 5.
Social media influencers can have quite an impact, it seems, but they can also get into trouble themselves. Both of these came into play in Indonesia with Rius Fernandes, who has more than 100,000 followers on Insta.
What he posted were pictures of the food menu he received while he was flying business class on Garuda, Indonesia's national carrier. The menu was basically handwritten on notepaper. Now, we don't know what he paid for his ticket or even if it was a freebie. Point is, rough handwritten menus in business class might make you wonder what kind of food quality one might expect.
The airline issued a clarification saying the menu was not for passengers but had been meant as a notice for flight attendants. The next thing you know, a directive issued by Garuda to the cabin crew to stop passengers from taking photos and videos mid-air was leaked onto social media.
Then they got trolled again by Indonesians, for whom posting travel selfies is a really big deal. The next day, Garuda had to issue another clarification, saying that the directive was now being revised to make clear it was just appealing to passengers to respect the privacy of other passengers while taking pictures.
They said that the appeal was based on input from customers who felt uncomfortable and disturbed being part of photos and videos without their prior permission. And I have to say, that's a pretty good reason. I don't want to be part of someone else's selfie, and I better not be the one expected to get out of the frame. You go take your selfie somewhere else, no?
Anyway, you would think that that's where the matter was settled. Everybody can go back to taking photos, and henceforth only printed menus will be distributed. Rius Fernandes even posted that he had received an apology from the airline.
But soon after, he put out another post saying both he and his fiancée had been reported to the police for alleged defamation over the post. Garuda said that the airline did not do anything, but some union employees had filed a police complaint, accusing the bloggers of causing a negative perception towards the national flag carrier.
This is rather ironic, considering their heavy-handed approach in getting the police involved caused as much, if not more, damage than a post about a handwritten menu. The airport chief separately said they had been reported to the police for breaking Indonesia's internet defamation laws.
So if you're ever flying Garuda and you find perhaps an insect in your food, either get rid of it quietly or at the most, complain softly. If you post about the damn thing, you might end up staying in Bali longer than you expected.
Number 4.
Rothy's is a pair of shoes you might not have heard of, but it's already being called the It Shoe of the Year. And Forbes magazine has already put it on its list of the next billion-dollar startups. This isn't some hawa mein thought. This private company is already valued at $700 million about 5 years after it started up.
What's special about it, besides being fashionable, is that it helps the environment. Rothy's shoes are knitted from yarn that is recycled from plastic water bottles. Those disposable plastic bottles are sterilized and melted into pellets from which they are spun into yarn.
That yarn is then used by 3D knitting machines using thousands of needles, from which a whole shoe upper is knitted as one piece and then simply attached to a recycled rubber sole.
The name Rothy's comes from the names of the two co-founders, Roth Martin and Stephen Hawthornwaite, whose nickname is Hawthy. One was in the art business and the other a banker. Both were a little tired of their careers, and so they decided to get together and make ladies' shoes, which they knew absolutely nothing about.
So the idea came from them seeing women wearing yoga pants, which were very much in fashion then, but didn't seem to have the right shoes to wear that looked good on them. Their thumb rule was comfortable and stylish. No heels and stilettos drama.
After some trial and error initially, which even involved shutting down sales for 6 months so that they could get a better grasp of their production and quality control, they relaunched in 2016 after putting up their own factory in China.
Once they relaunched, there's been no looking back, and sales have been rocketing. They've gone from almost nothing to $140 million now. And they've done this with just 4 styles, with a 5th one ready to launch later this year.
For shoes that started as plastic water bottles but wound up as knitted flats, they've done pretty well. Obsessive Rothy's customers apparently stand in line outside their store in San Francisco, and Rothy's addicts have their own private Facebook group with 14,000 members. It certainly helped that Meghan Markle is a known customer and has been seen wearing their point-toed flats while she was pregnant.
And those shoes aren't cheap. They cost upwards of 10,000 rupees and they don't ever discount. But that's a price you could pay happily to look stylish while saving the environment in your own small way. After all, they've recycled 34 million plastic bottles so far.
Number 3.
Sometimes a good education can let you down in the strangest ways. for instance. We've just learned that being overqualified is a good enough reason to get you disqualified.
It has taken Lakshmi Prasad and M. Sakarachami a long time to learn this the hard way. Both of them are engineers, and while Lakshmi applied for a job in the railways for the post of metro train operator, Sakarachami applied for a position of revenue department assistant. They even cleared the written exams and interviews.
Then Chennai Metro decided to reject Lakshmi's job application because they were only looking for applicants with a diploma in engineering, and she had a full-blown bachelor in engineering degree. Sakarachami, who has a bachelor's in mechanical engineering, was similarly way too qualified for the job of an assistant in the revenue department.
Even though they filed petitions in court in 2013 and 2009, respectively, both their cases came up for hearing at the Madras High Court on the same day last week. The court dismissed both their petitions, with one judge saying if overqualified candidates were appointed for performing the duties and responsibilities attached to basic services, the efficiency level in the public administration would be brought down.
Even though we don't quite understand the logic of this, what do we know? We're not that highly qualified. We're told, however, that at over 6% unemployment in the country, the highest it's been in many, many years, there's enough qualified people looking for jobs. Frankly, any job.
Number 2.
After covering large parts of planet Earth, Amazon is going into space. It has applied for permission to launch 3,236 communication satellites, joining a new space race to offer internet service from low orbits, something that Elon Musk's SpaceX is already planning, and has taken permission for about 12,000 satellites.
And these aren't the only two. UK-based OneWeb, backed by SoftBank, also Richard Branson's Virgin Group, Boeing, and a couple of others have submitted their own proposals. These projects will cost many billions of dollars each.
At low Earth orbit, which is altitudes of between 200 to 2,000 kilometers, satellites need to race around the globe to stay aloft, completing orbits in as little as 90 minutes. As one moves towards the horizon, it will hand off signal duties to the next satellite coming by. Many satellites are needed if continuous widespread coverage is the goal.
These companies say it would help serve communities by offering broadband and communication services to rural and hard-to-reach areas. It will also be accessible for broadband connectivity in aircraft and ships.
According to Amazon, worldwide, 3.8 billion people remain without fast and reliable broadband service. And industry experts have estimated that only 10 to 20% of the Earth's land area is covered by cell phone towers.
If this works out, your broadband could just as well be coming from space. So the next time you lose connectivity in the middle of something important, you don't need to look down and curse your phone. You can look up and curse that low orbit satellite floating around.
Number 1.
And finally, a bronze bowl that was being used by a family to store tennis balls has sold at auction for a record price.
Experts from Specialist Auctioneer Scholars were valuing items that belonged to a Swiss family when they spotted a gilt bronze incense burner with phoenix heads for handles.
When they saw the bowl, they were amazed. They'd never seen anything like it. The auction house experts think because of the peonies and the phoenix decoration, and because of the quality, it was probably made for Chinese emperors.
Believed to be from the late 17th century, it had belonged to the Swiss family for a number of years after being brought from a trip to China. The family had offered the bowl to a museum in Berlin, but the museum had no interest in the piece. A British auction house also declined the item after seeing photos of it.
After all that, the family thought it wasn't worth a lot, but they liked it and they put it on display. As you do with a bowl in your house, you put things in it, and they put tennis balls in it.
But after caller put it up for auction, the incense burner created a sensation when it was exhibited at an antiques fair in Hong Kong. It also caused intense bidding, with 30 bidders vying to get their hands on the piece.
And in case you're wondering how much it finally went for, the winning bid was $4.9 million for what is basically the Chinese version of an agarbatti holder.
Leaving you to carefully inspect all the old-looking stuff in your house. It's a wrap on Jaldi 5 for today. We'll have to hear from you, so please note, Jaggu uses Jagguism on Insta and Twitter. And across Facebook, Insta and Twitter, I'm at Tarana Raja. Please get in touch.
You can also email feedback to jukebox@bookmyshow.com and follow Book My Show on Facebook, Insta and Twitter for all the updates on movies, events and theatre geeks.
Also do check out our longer order show called The Odd Couple that is also available right here on Book My Show. A new episode will be out on Friday. Until next time, I'm Tarana.
And I'm Jaggu.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Jaldi 5 with Jaggu and Tarana. Exclusively on Book My Show, where all you gotta do is hashtag just press play.